Welcome to the Health for Mzansi podcast. Today we share the inspiring story of Dr. Portia Mashaba, a beacon of hope and empowerment in Mpumalanga. Fueled by a desire to make a difference, Dr. Mashaba forged ahead despite the absence of role models in her community. Today, she's a proud practicing physician. Her commitment extends beyond medical practice. She channels her energy into community engagement and advocacy, addressing pressing issues like gender-based violence and healthcare equity. Hi, Dr. Portia Mashaba. It is absolutely amazing to have you join me here on Health for Mzansi. Welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat to me.
Thank you for having me as well.
It really is a pleasure. I think our connection is so interesting, very random, but I'm so happy to be able to talk to you. One of your colleagues I met in Johannesburg, and I was like, please, I would love to speak to you. Please connect me with doctors. Really great to have you here. And I'm so happy that things aligned for us to be able to chat. And usually what I like to start with is just like growing up here. So tell us about your journey growing up, you know, from growing up in Kamhlushwa, Mpumalanga, to becoming a highly driven and passionate advocate, you know, for healthcare and community empowerment.
I must say that one, in any career, it's mostly on all times, it's being called and serving your purpose. So growing up in Kamhlushwa, I'd say to others, I was not exposed to seeing doctors or other young healthcare professionals. But with time, I had to get myself out of my comfort zone in my community and go out there and interact and see what doctors do. I love the idea of helping people. And I love, not just an idea, I loved being a doctor from the age of 7 in grade 2. That's when I knew that I want to be a doctor. But I didn't know that it had to do with reaching out, serving. But as soon as I knew that I wanted to be a doctor, the quest of finding out what is expected of me and walking that journey from childhood to my teenagehood until now as I'm a grown woman. So while I was a child, in my family, my younger brother had asthma. So we had a family doctor with time. I'd interview the family doctor and ask him about the job that he does. And I want to know how fulfilling it is. And I'd do that I think I was around age 12, that inciting interest striked in seeing the doctor serving in our community. As I said, when I started, there wasn't any role model that I could look up to. But as I grew, then started having people that, oh, it's not only just a male-dominated area, because where I grew up, there was only mostly male general practitioners. Then I'd be like, okay. Then with time, I met a lady was also a general practitioner. I was like, even females, because it was mostly like, I wouldn't say stigmatized, but people would trust in a male doctor more than, I wouldn't say more than a female, but it was because the dominance was more in males. So even in our community. So seeing that, then that there is room for a female like me, black in color, then I was like, then I'm not lost. I'm going to the right path. And then the lack of not having that influence pushed me that maybe you are the one who's supposed to be that influence for the next upcoming generation or the next group of doctors that will follow after me.
It's really great to listen to you speak how it came from the age of 7. That's really amazing. And you stuck to it and you're in it now currently. That's really beautiful to listen to you describe as part of your growing up years and also just, you know, what led you to where you are today. You mentioned you didn't have a lot of female or woman doctors to look up to when you were growing up. And that's actually my next question, you know, like as a woman in the healthcare sector, specifically in South Africa, what do you see as the most pressing health issues facing women in our communities? And how do you envision kind of addressing these challenges in your practice as part of the work that you do day to day?
The challenge that we are all facing is more of like a pandemic now. Gender-based violence amongst our female, some stems out of mental health issues, some stems out of sexual health education. How do I say this? If a child is able to realize that, a young girl is able to realize that at a certain age, my body, it's my consent. And they're able to realize that certain actions, this is being raped, this is being a sexual offense done to you. It's not something that you should allow being done. I don't know if you are able to know that this is your body as a young girl, sexual orientation, and know that when something is done against your will, then it's rape. Because in the societies that we're in, we don't understand that statutory rape is something that is there. We're like, no, it's just relationships. It's a norm in our society. But once we educate women to know that at a certain age, this person is not allowed to even touch you. If that person touches you, it's rape. It cannot be that an older man is asking for consent to be sexually involved with you. Those are the things that our ladies need to be aware of. Being aware of yourself, then you're able to say that this is done outside of my will. And something, even if it's done within your will, if the person is an elder than you, then those are things like statutory rape. Other systemic rights with our ladies with gender-based violence. We have women that have low self-esteem. They are easily being victims to gender-based violence. And speaking up sometimes is not that easy. But if we as health practitioners or even other members of the society start educating people that love yourself enough to know when to walk away, love yourself enough to know that when I go to the doctor and the doctor is suturing me the scars that I got from being injured by my partner, that is a red flag to leave right away. If my doctor is referring me to a psychologist because of the mental issues that I'm facing in my relationship, this is when to walk away. As a doctor, it's my role to educate and tell them about the red flags of relationships and when it's unhealthy, when it's toxic for you, when it affects your mental capabilities and also leading you to other conditions, because you might find yourself having heart attacks, having strokes because of the stresses that you are facing every day. And to answer, what am I doing to that as a doctor? I started a program the past Saturday. I had an event where I had collaborated with women in the society where we were tackling issues that we face in relationship, we face in our health, we face in our mental health. What can we do? How to be outside of a space whereby we are together and holding each other up? Because now we in a society whereby if you speak up about your abuse, there are certain people who don't even trust that you're even telling the truth about your abuse. But my role as a doctor is to say, you can confide in me about your issues as a woman, and you have a safe space, and you have a space where you have solutions. That's what I am saying, addressing the matters that women are facing now.
Thank you so much for that. I mean, that I really applaud you for kind of taking that initiative and supporting women in your community, specifically in both your role, healthcare professional, but also just in your capacity as a being part of that specific community. So thank you so much for that. So currently you're busy with your specialist training to further advance, you know, your career. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit more about that and also how you see this kind of, you know, advancing your career goals to contribute even more when it comes to, you know, healthcare outcomes in your community.
I'm one to believe, and we are continuous learners. We learn every day. So to clarify that, I've been accepted to go train for physician specialist training. But unfortunately, because of the funds in our Department of Health, currently we have doctors that are not unemployed. I'm also amongst the doctors that are waiting to go for training. The funds for training are still not yet released. So I'm still waiting to go and train. I'm accepted. My space is waiting for me to start training. But because there's lack of funding in our country, I'm in a waiting process to go start my training. So it's a bit of a calamity. It shows the social problems that we're having in our country, that now you have doctors that don't have jobs. You have doctors that are supposed to go and train, but there's still no money to fund them. I'm actually an example of that I'm in a waiting list to go start my training. Due to financial problems in our Department of Health, I have to wait until the finances are released for me to start my training. It could be next year, it could be next week, it could be next month. I am supposed to go start my training. And the passion for me to want to further my training is that there's so much that one has to learn. There's actually so much, even the 4 years of training that I want to embark in is not even enough. I still, if possible, I would add another 8 years, because every single day there's new diseases that are learned. There's new treatment plans that are advanced. So as a young Black woman, what I can do to empower the next one is to empower myself. So I'm able to speak in spaces with new information with the latest data instead of quoting things that are from the past. So the way to move our country forward is to educate the people that are already in those spaces, like myself. I'm already a doctor, but be more advanced than where I am. Then that is how I'll contribute to the community, by giving the latest information to save lives as well.
That's a really sad reality that many, you know, healthcare professionals like yourself is going through, and I think it really does stifle your growth in terms of, you know, advancing within the healthcare space. It is something that we've highlighted at Umzanzi as well. And I hope and trust that you will be able to grow in time as a doctor within our health sector. Outside of all of this work that you're still looking forward to doing and this lifelong learning that you've brought on for you as a professional, you know, in addition to your academic achievements, you know, such obtaining a diploma in internal medicine and working towards, you know, HIV management diploma, what other professional milestones are you specifically proud of, and how have they shaped your approach to patient care and community engagement?
I'd really say being mentored by physicians like Dr. Madame Ramadua, who's now also super specializing as a cardiologist. That is a big milestone that I cannot take away. Him investing so much information in me, investing in making me become a better doctor. You've mentioned, highlighted advancing having a diploma in internal medicine, which is a journey. It's not something that you write one exam and then you're done. It's multiple exams. It's like, I think, 6 exams that's for you to obtain. I can also go for oral examination. So that journey in itself, it prepared me to be an overall doctor that doesn't only just become good with the textbook side of medicine, but also be good also the practical side of everything, because patients are not textbooks. Patients are human beings that you need to interact and understand their backgrounds, understand their feels, and be empathetic with them. So those milestones, obtaining those achievements, gave me a boost that I can be confident in dealing with conditions, because now I have added other qualifications to back me up that I'm good. I'm not best yet, but I'm good at where I am. Best, that's when, as I continue to specialize. Another milestone is just the community engagements that I'm having. I'm involved in radio. Every Tuesday, I do radio interviews where I'm teaching the community of Mbombela about any health awarenesses. Today, I was teaching on stress awareness. Last week, I had to teach on stroke and mental health. So every single week, I'm impacting something to the community, be it in my voice, be it in writing. I've also written articles for newspaper companies. The articles are basically on youth and alcohol. The latest one that I wrote was on obesity. It's going to be published this month. So that in itself, it shows that I'm not stagnant in my career. I may be waiting to go further my studies, but I'm continuously, with the knowledge that I've acquired from the diplomas, from the extra exams that I've been writing, it's helping me help the society. I don't hold back the information to myself, but I'm sharing it. Even right now, being part of the podcast, it is in itself a milestone that is documenting a journey that I'm embarking in.
Absolutely amazing. I really want to just, you know, applaud you once again, give you a round of applause for continuously contributing to Mzanzi's healthcare sector. Your community projects, you're also supporting a girls' soccer team. Can you tell us, you know, just the importance of kind of integrating sports and physical activity into this, you know, holistic healthcare approaches, especially when it comes to empowering young girls?
Goes back to what we mentioned about trying to combat the issue of gender-based violence. If you're creating a society of women that know what they want, with women who are driven, with women who are doing good, their best, even mentally, even physically, then you are able to combat some of those challenges. You may not completely stop it, but you will be grooming a generation of people who are healthy and who are mentally sound. Supporting the soccer team, Rising Star, it also came back from the poverty that we see in our society. You can't just feed a child only. Give them something that they can look out to. When they come back from school, it's not only just homeworks, but there's some physical activity that keeps them busy. It keeps them away from drugs, keeps them away from dating older men, keeps them away from thinking about not having support groups. It starts from that young age, realizing that you're not an island. You need a support group. So starting with the soccer teams, it's not only just for their mental well-being, but also for their reconnection with one another. The empowerment starts there, knowing that we have a soccer team, we have teammates within the soccer team, building friendships and networks. That's where it starts. And I wish that for other people, even if they're not in the healthcare space, to create the sports programs for young kids so that they find themselves busy, keeping the mind busy and keeping yourself busy. It stops you from wandering around and finding yourself being part of negative things.
Thank you so much for that. Just listening to you, I'm really inspired by your journey and everything that you've done to date. And also just wanted to congratulate you. You were recognized for your health education and health excellence last year in 2023. Can you tell us, you know, a little bit about this recognition and how it really has impacted your career and the future goals?
The members of the society, they get to nominate you, and they nominate you based on things that you do outside of work, how you go an extra mile for patients, patient care. With me, I believe the nomination was being recognized, and the nomination came through the activities that I do. I mentioned being part of radio, the community health education that I do, and even in churches, I do try and avail myself for health educational talks. So the members of the community felt deemed that I may be recognized to have one of the doctors that I go in an extra mile beyond just treating patients in the hospital and in clinics. So that it made me realize that in whatever that I do, there is someone that is looking. I don't do things for being applauded, but when now I'm being applauded, it means that I must do better. I must also continue, and also I must learn from those who are doing much better, and also handle everything with grace and humility, because sometimes being applauded, others you may grow wings and then end up being less of human, you understand? But all times is to always be in the space and be respectful, also walk in humility, that I'm grateful that you are able to recognize that my works, but I'm not going to be stagnant in that. I need to continue to do better. So that made me feel that my work is seen and I must continue pushing, that the next person can say, I can do it because Dr. Mashaba has done it.
My second last question would be, you know, what opportunities do you see for innovation and advancement within the healthcare sector in South Africa? You know, particularly in terms of improving access to quality care for women and marginalized communities.
I think we really need a lot of infrastructure in terms of women's clinics. There are few. Women's clinics is not always just about miscarriages, abortion, clinic. That can be covered. But you also have to look in areas as breast cancer. You need to look at areas as HIV in itself, holistically, just in a woman's health. Have those type of innovations and clinics. And we need to look at areas whereby the supportive systems of rape survivors, these clinics that are doing that for our women. So we still need a lot of infrastructure in terms of women's clinics. In as much as men's clinics are available, but we need women's clinics that are well-structured and address all the issues, not few issues, but all issues that females face. And those clinics need to be channeled or ushered by other female doctors, a space whereby women will say, I'm comfortable going to my women's clinic because I'll get health about my body. I'll get health about my other conditions, and also get health when I'm pregnant. I'll get health if I'm struggling to fall pregnant, and I'll have a safe space for my mental health to be taken care of in these buildings. We still need that in our country. We have very few women's clinics, and I think there's space. I don't even think there is space for that.
Now, just looking ahead, you know, what advice would you give to other young aspiring doctors or healthcare professionals who are passionate about making a difference? And also, if there's another young possible doctor, Toshan Mashaba, there in Mpumalanga, where you grew up, what would you say to them?
Follow your dreams, but at the same time, it will take discipline. You may dream and have all these big dreams and want to be another Dr. Mashaba, even way better than me. But if you're not disciplined enough to sustain those dreams, you will not make it. Importantly is to have dreams, visualize where you're going, but to keep you there and stay there is to be disciplined. As right now we're having this interview, it has to go disciplined in that, you know, discipline myself that going an extra mile beyond work, after work, I need to sit down, give myself time, giving myself time for my community. It takes being disciplined with your time management. You cannot be found in all the spaces that don't align with where you're going. You need to be with the right people, the right place, and at the right time. So everything can align to the bigger picture that you have. Picture yourself big, but take the daily steps every day. The steps are not taken in months. Right now, we're having this interview. It's taking steps for other greater things that are yet to come. Don't even look down on the small beginnings. That's where greatness starts.
Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, Dr. Portia Mashaba. Through your resilience and determination, you truly embody the spirit of empowerment and hope. Join us next time for more stories of change and transformation. Until then, remember, every small step counts towards building a healthier, more equitable society. And that brings us to the end of this episode. From me, Dawn Numdu, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of the team, #HealthFormZanzi, bye-bye for now.